Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great topic. I really, really like talking about this. There'll be no kidding about it. I enjoy it a lot. The topic for today I want to share with you, and I have a special guest on the phone with me, is legacy, estate planning, transferring money from one generation to the next. How do you do it? How do you do it effectively? But there's a whole bunch of stuff that's not financial. I mean, yes, it's about money and it's about resources and assets, but it's also about preparing the family, having the talk about money. And so to help us with that is Richard Orlando, who is on the line with me. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. Richard is founder and CEO of Legacy Capital. The website to take a look at what Richard's got going on is Legacy Capitals, with an S on the end, legacycapitals.com. And the book, which I'm holding, that Richard was kind enough to send to me, Legacy, The Hidden Keys to Optimizing Your Family Wealth Decisions. And of course, that's available, I'm sure, on your website, but also on Amazon and websites like that.
Absolutely, and Barnes & Noble as well.
Okay, very good. Where fine books are sold. Mm-hmm. All right, very good, Richard. So tell us a little bit about you have a PhD.
I do.
Outstanding. You're a smart guy then.
Don't hold it against me.
and you have quite the pedigree. I will tell our listeners, earn your Bachelor of Science in Computer Science and Business from St. John's University. Pursued a career on Wall Street, earned your securities licenses. You went back to school, got your master's degree in counseling and theology, and then you did the dissertation, and it was interesting. What was the dissertation? It was on management, right? Family teams?
I focused it on wealth management teams where family members work together in the unit. So,
Lord have mercy, right?
Generation, siblings, things like that. Yep.
That's why you needed your master's degree in counseling and theology first.
That's right.
Because exactly. Family and money. Woo! Yeah. Well, so that was kind of the background. So what prompted you to write the book? Because there's always an impetus for that, because I've written a couple of books myself. So I know there was a spark.
Yeah, so I think the combination of what you just described is my journey, both from a kind of a formal educational approach, but really from a life and work approach. Over the roughly 20-plus years inside of corporate America in financial services, working very, very closely with advisors and then ultimately their clients and their families, it all began to come together for me where those various backgrounds I have really just peaked in a way that was very helpful to the advisor population and then ultimately we'll call it the end user or the client of the advisors. And so after many years of both hearing and working very intimately with kind of the financial picture as the advisor would focus on and the personal picture of the family, and you said something very important before, most of the planning and the work really focuses on the assets.
Yeah.
And what quickly became obvious to me and others is not as much went into the preparing the family for their assets.
Right.
And so that began to really spark a more intentional approach of saying, okay, let me see if I can capture in a book those anecdotes, those stories, that wisdom, those best practices in a way mm-hmm. that would really complement and add to what's already really being done. The great news, as you know, and is the advisors of all sorts, whether it's wealth management, financial planning, insurance, all of the essential attributes. The great news is you all are doing that wonderfully. What happens with families is they're not as focused on preparing themselves for those assets. And I think this book is just one of the many solutions, but an important one that really hits this head on in many ways.
Well, I'm glad you've contributed, Richard, because I think that, you know, this is for a lot of families. It is a very, very difficult subject on both the giving and the receiving end. You know, I've had guests on that we've talked about money, and I've asked the question, why is money such a taboo subject in our culture? It's very different here in the United States than it is perhaps in other cultures. There's other cultures where it's much more openly discussed. Well, of course, and there's some that are probably even more tightly wound than we are, but it's, I'm glad you've contributed. The book is Legacy, The Hidden Keys to Optimizing Your Family Wealth Decisions, and the website is legacycapitals.com. Richard, let's grab a quick break, and then we'll delve into more about what you're describing in your book and some good tips for families and money. Stay right there, okay?
Thank you.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. Richard Orlando is on the line with me. He's founder and CEO of Legacy Capital. Legacy Capitals, with the S on there, legacycapitals.com is a website. The book, Legacy, The Hidden Keys to Optimizing Your Family Wealth Decisions. And, you know, Richard, this is a huge topic. And so let's start with one of the things you mentioned in your book, which I think is just nails it, is, I'm quoting you, your legacy is how you live it, not just what you leave. So talk a little bit about that with us.
Yeah, that was one of the light bulbs that went off as I was doing this kind of work and partnering with advisors. And so much of the language was on this kind of end state of death and what happens post I'm not being here anymore and
right. What
assets do I leave. And all of that's relevant. We have to do it. I've done it for my family. But the truth is, I think the wisdom is, our legacies are shaped by how we live today, not by what happens at the, you know, at the reading of the wills or the trust.
Right.
So just that insight alone, I think, is one of the ways to help optimize our planning for our lives and our intended legacies. So really, it's reframing, well, if we have an intended legacy, how do we help increase the odds that's going to happen? And not only for us, but maybe future generations. So I just think refocusing it from assets, hard assets, and some end state we really don't know too much about or when it might come, to how do we choose to live today in the way we work, the way we relate, the way we spend our money, the way we invest our money, the way we share our assets.
Excellent. You know, I do fancy myself to be a little bit clever, Richard, so I've got a line for you. How about we refocus it off the assets and onto actions?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So off of assets and off of assets and onto action. But that's really, I think it's easy because to put this off and not want to talk about it. And it's, you know, okay, well, for the person who is thinking about how to leave money, how they will leave a legacy and what do they want their legacy to be, you know, which is the mark they make on society and those around them. It's the time they spend, it's the actions they take. And it's so easy to not want to deal with this. And I'd applaud your work in this area because it's something that people really need to be cognizant of. And I try to think of it every day. And you know, I have young children. They're not adults. I'm already thinking about these things and what will be my legacy.
As someone once said to me, or I heard in a presentation, they said, we have no control over the day we're born. We may have some control or influence over when we exactly die, but it's really that in between those two points that is really about how we live, and that's the legacy process.
That's a good point. It's kind of like an Oreo. All the good stuff's in the middle.
Yeah, and I actually think it makes the conversations easy because if people really had it, legacy being synonymous with death, who would want to talk about that? Who would want to plan for that? That's not a fun conversation.
No, it's
really
not.
Something out of our control.
So a lot of, I think what you're speaking to, Richard, and don't let me misparaphrase this, but it's a lot to do with, you know, the old thing, it's time and money. It's a lot to do about time that is spent and time that, you know, that is with family and those that you care about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think about my own personal situation. I'd rather have the time with my family than being concerned about inheritance.
And that's correct. And it's even broader than that. I use the story of Steve Jobs in the opening of the book, really to illustrate that the, you know, now that he's passed, the books and the movies are telling his story, but he actually created his legacy while he was living.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's not just about the financial assets. It's about how we pursue happiness. How do we share our resources with others? How do we work with family members in the same business? And that's really what the book is. It takes the five, what I believe are the five big questions that have a direct impact on our legacy.
Well, and there's research, as you're well aware, that talks about, speaking of families and businesses, that most of the wealth and family business, it doesn't go successfully past about three generations, right?
That's correct. You're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, as you said before, rightfully so, there's various, if we go around the world, we have to factor in the various cultural norms and expectations and traditions around money. But what is common is this shirt sleeve to shirt sleeve proverb you're talking about. That's the language we use in the U.S. That phenomena happens around the world. As a matter of fact, it's a Chinese proverb that it's built off of, about this idea that it's hard to perpetuate wealth as well as family businesses. Correct.
Well, and that is a fascinating subject. you have this, and I think that's part of what you're speaking to with the preparation. You know, because there's also statistics that I have seen, and I've talked about this on the program, is that with instant wealth, sudden wealth, some statistic like 80% of the time, it's gone in 5 years.
Yeah.
And so it's that preparation.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, the plan. It's same phenomena that happens with professional athletes soon after their retirement or injury of causing retirement. The money doesn't last very long. There's that sudden wealth phenomena that, you know, it takes a lot to be wise in making our decisions, and investing and doing all the wise things around that is important, but it's bigger than that. As a matter of fact, the research shows, the big piece of research that focused on what you referred to is that shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves, where most of the wealth is lost across the second and third generation, showed that the main reason for it was what I call the business of the family, the family's lack of preparing for that transition. It wasn't that they didn't have a good estate plan. It was that they, and that's really where I think the focus of this book and my work is, as well as others, is on what I call the business of the family. How do they prepare themselves for this, both the opportunities and the responsibilities of their wealth?
Well, and that is the big question. I mean, how does a family, how do parents and grandparents prepare that next generation? What are some of the things that they can do? That I know this is a deep subject, but what are some of the things just that you would say, hey, here are some key stuff that they need to be thinking about?
Yeah. Chapter 5, I believe, is called Next Generation Preparation. It's
okay.
All about this topic. And I frame it, and I'm going to give you a couple of particulars around,
sure,
we really want to be very conscious and intentional about raising the life IQ of the next generation, not just the financial IQ. So I have 10 principles and practices, both for, we'll call it the parent generation or the wealth holder generation, and the next generation. And I think there's two important questions or points to this topic. One is, I think we have to start with asking ourselves, and I'm a parent too, what are we preparing them for? How we answer that question will absolutely direct our efforts. And I use the example of, if I want to prepare my son to be a plumber, that's a pretty clear path. So what am I trying to prepare him for? Am I trying to prepare him to be a responsible citizen, which I hear a lot from my clients? Do I want him or her to be prepared to run the family assets? That's a different preparation. You have to have some. So that's an important question. And the other one that I talk about is it's a two-way responsibility, two-generational responsibility. It's not only what mom and dad are doing, but it's what when our children become young adults, the responsibility has to start shifting to, what am I doing to prepare myself? So the life IQ, and it's really in some ways tied to what the U.S. Trust study found when they surveyed affluent individuals about when the parents thought their children would be ready and mature enough for the to receive the inheritance. And about 74% of them said not until they were at least 30 years old.
Yeah.
Now, chronology is helpful, but I don't mean to be so literal in that it has to be 30 years old. The point is that there's something about the life maturity, the life IQ,
right,
which is really what we have to focus on. So I talk about, let's give you a few examples. On the parent side, first of all, I talk about follow the platinum rule. This preparation is not about us, the parents. It's about them.
Yeah.
And when you have successful individuals and entrepreneurs, they're very forceful individuals. They have opinions. They have been rewarded to have ideas and direct companies and people. But when you go to look at your children, they're not an employee. We have to think about what is it about them that's going to help them flourish in their life. That would be one example. Helping as parents think about the difference between what are the needs of my children versus the wants.
Yeah.
When we have fortunate enough to have a meaningful amount of capital, whatever level that is, we could take care of a lot of needs and a lot of wants, and we really have to start deciphering what's in the best interest of the next generation.
I think you're spot on, Richard. Let me grab a quick break. Richard Orlando is our guest. He's founder and CEO of Legacy Capital, the book. A lot more good stuff, and I'm ready to read. I've started already, Richard. I want to read the whole thing. I'm going to read it over the weekend. Okay. Legacy, the Hidden Keys to Optimizing Your Family Wealth Decisions, LegacyCapitals.com. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Richard Orlando's on the line, helping us, giving us some insight into this whole thing of the legacy that we live and leave to our family and beneficiaries and friends, not just family. And I want to shift gears, if you don't mind, Richard, because there's a very important part of this for a lot of people. And it's, and I know you talk about this in your book, spiritual capital. Mm-hmm. And the question, or I'd like you to kind of expand on, you know, that spiritual capital that can be transferred, I guess, or shared with the next generation or others. And you've got some different things going on. I guess the first thing is, what's the difference between instilling your values and maybe your religion or your belief system?
Yeah, this is a very important question. Let me be clear, as I try to be in the book. Even though I do happen to have a personal faith, that this book, and when I refer to spiritual capital, this is not about religion. It is about the value of this other capital that we have, besides financial, intellectual, human, and social. It's our spiritual capital. And that's really, as you began to talk about it, this is at the core of what we believe, our values, what we think is the purpose of our lives and our money, and what's our faith perspective, whatever that means, a positive outlook, a faith in a higher purpose, a faith in a personal God, whatever it is. I created that definition, which is values plus purpose times faith. Really what I'm trying to say is, if you think about concepts of love, passion, legacy, those are all intangibles, but those intangibles have probably the most impact in our lives and our work. So spiritual capital is really that capital of the intangibles, and at the bottom line, what it is it's our why. It's how answer the why of our lives, and the why of our families, and the why of our money. And it is really our personal GPS. So not factoring in this capital, I wonder, how could someone make such big, important decisions about their legacy and their wealth and their families without being very intentional about this spiritual capital? So that's what I mean by spiritual capital, and that helping navigate the planning process and the living out of our legacy.
Well, it's good stuff, Richard. I love that. I mean, it's spot on. And the words that come to mind as you describe it is mindfulness and deliberateness and intentional thought and pursuit of this. And I guess, you know, speaking of pursuit, you know, one of the other things is, you know, you talk about in the book is the pursuit of happiness, which is what we all pursue. How does that tie into our legacy that we want to leave to people?
Yeah, thank you. That's a good, I love that question. It was just something that I feel very fortunate that I stumbled into in my journey in this work. And really, it comes, a lot of it comes out of the positive psychology world, which really began to flip the whole psychology world upside down. Instead of people asking or focusing on how do we help unhappy or sick people get better, they focused on what contributes to those lives that people feel very fulfilled on. And so there's so much of this research around what contributes to a meaningful life, to a purposeful life, to a life full of energy. And I list a few of those attributes. Let me just say a few of them. Is one of them is giving back.
Yeah.
One of them is making sure that we're clear on our purpose and our strengths and building a world around that. Being grateful, being playful. There's so many resources on this stuff. It's awesome. And it has a direct impact on our legacies, as well as some of the decisions around transferring wealth, for example.
No, that's fair.
So if I don't have a purposeful life, it's going to be less likely that I'm going to be happy about who I am, which is going to have a ripple effect on my relationships.
I had a person come in to meet with you, Richard. You'll love this. She just came in to meet with me. She asked for me to help her, give her some direction with her finances. She just retired. She did a lot of travel with her work. She is volunteering at a local senior center, and she said, I've never been happier. You know, it's helped me be much more patient. It's helped me this. It's helped me with that. And she just was beaming as she was describing it to me.
And it absolutely, I find a lot of my work is almost every parent that I get a chance to serve that is wrestling with these, how much do I transfer? When do I transfer it? How do I use our resources and not undermine the development of my children and make them lazy or entitled? Mm. And so they unintentionally set up the outcomes they don't want by allowing the resources in a way to in fact spoil what they're trying to do, and I use that word loosely, or it's almost a double entendre there.
Sure.
In that really, in the estate planning process or in the parenting process, if we focused on some of these attributes of happiness, it has a very practical effect on what we're trying to do as parents. So instead of the estate planning, for example, to have an incentives built in that hold back the negatives, like if you abuse drugs or if you do this or don't do that, it's going to have a negative impact on you as an heir. What about if we incented pursue your passions? You know, make sure that whatever you're trying to do in life is going to help you give back. It has a revolutionary perspective on how we parent and how we design our estate plan.
I love it. Richard Orlando, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today. He is founder and CEO of Legacy Capital. Legacy, the hidden keys to optimizing your family wealth decision, legacycapitals.com. Quick break, Richard, and we'll come right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back. Richard Orlando has been our guest today. Richard, I've got about a minute left here, so here's your one-minute warning. We can share some final thoughts with my listeners. And I think right where we were when we took the break, really, I love what you said, and that is setting up and encouraging and incenting the positive. And of course, that can be accomplished with a lot of different estate planning techniques and not making it something where you're being, you know, the beneficiary is being banged on the head for bad behavior, but being incented for good.
Yes. First of all, again, thank you for this opportunity, David, and kudos to you for what you are bringing to your listeners and your clients. It's to be recognized. I think the opportunity here for all of us, especially as we pursue our wealth creation and preservation, is to always remember that in and of itself, wealth is relevant, but ultimately not going to bring us the deeper purposes of life and the meaning of life, and that we want to make sure that what we do has our assets serving who we are and what we're meant to be doing. And this book, Legacy, as we've talked about, is really one of those keys, one of those guideposts into making sure that the planning we're doing for our legacies and the way we live them is guided by our spiritual capital and our human capital, and not at the expense of our planning around our tangible assets, but as an integrated guide in our process. So thank you again for this opportunity.
You're welcome, and amen to that, Richard. Thank you for being on the program.
You have a good day now.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.